I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's top local story, special coverage with Dave and Dujanovic.
25 years old, online dating, looking for a connection, maybe hoping to find love. I think Ashlyn Black could be anybody's daughter. Mm-hmm. Or she could be me, Amy.
Yeah.
I'm online dating. She could be.
I mean, that's just the reality of the world we live in right now, right?
The reality of the world we live in. And we're going to get more into that throughout the show. You know, she's meeting a man on Tinder. She connects. Mm-hmm. And it's a very popular dating app. I think I'm probably the only one who's not on Tinder. And with hours.
Actually, it's the most popular in the country.
Yeah. Yeah.
30 million people used it in 2019.
That's unreal. You would think.
The second one is Bumble, and I don't even know what Bumble is.
I know that one, and I don't like it. Within hours, she was found by police, stabbed to death.
Well, that's the thing that's confusing, because did he call or did he confess, like, right afterwards?
Yes, he called and confessed, according to the jail booking document. He called and confessed, and police show up at his home, and they find Ashlyn. So we're going to go in depth right now on, I want to call it, the legacy that Ashlyn's story leaves for the rest of us. Because I think it's too easy. The go-to is, well, she shouldn't have, she didn't, she did this wrong, she did that wrong, she did this wrong, Amy. That's what I hear over and over.
I think a lot of people do that because they struggle with this idea that it could happen to anyone. And so if they blame her for her behavior in some way, then it won't happen to them. They feel safer, right? So it feels like, okay, if I'm a woman who's dating and I have some kind of criteria or some kind of structure that I think is protecting me, and then I see some of that attacked in a story where somebody has been hurt or killed, I think the first thing you do is, like, what does she do? How is she different from me so that I don't feel
vulnerable?
So
we insulate ourselves.
Yeah.
So we insulate ourselves. We're going to have a live interview in just a moment talking about how we can have the honest conversation, not only with ourselves, but with our daughters as well. Some will say Ashlyn's legacy will be this, and this is the easy go-to. Don't let a man pick you up at your home on the first date. Just don't let it happen. She shouldn't have allowed him to take her to a bar. Don't go home with him on the first date. But I'm here to tell you that this happens every single day. And if you think that this isn't your daughter, you're wrong.
Yeah.
You're wrong.
And I would like to think that Ashlyn's legacy is who she was in the world. We don't know a lot about her. We know a little bit. The people she loved, the life she lived. I want to remind people that we're more than our worst moment. She's not the thing that happened to her. She's the life that she lived and the person that she was in the world. This incident is something I would like to separate from her almost and say, how do we date? How do we meet people? How do we help our kids have, and if you're in this situation as an adult, how do you have these relationships without putting yourself in some kind of extreme danger?
In fact, Amy, her family issued a statement and it says, Ashlyn had a gift for working with those who have special needs. The lives of her friends and family are permanently altered. And I believe Ashlyn's legacy should not be about blaming her for her decisions. It should be about being on our knees, thanking the universe that we now have an opportunity to talk to our own daughters about their online dating experiences and their new habits going forward. So I want to bring in a friend of the show, Jen Oxborough of the Domestic Violence Coalition. Good morning, Jen. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Good morning, Debbie. It's good to talk with you. Thank you for paying attention to this story. It's so important.
It's just heartbreaking, and I really do believe Ashlyn can be anybody's daughter. What will Ashlyn's legacy be for you?
You know, Ashlyn, just like all of these survivors and victims of domestic violence in Utah, and unfortunately, you know, this is one of those cases where it's the worst outcome of domestic violence. We hope that people remember individuals for, you know, the beauty that was in their life and who they were to their family and their friends, and that there are opportunities to do a better job within our communities, which I think starts by understanding that no one deserves this, right? No matter what their choice or decision, if it's different than how you would do something, it still doesn't make it okay to blame or shame or impose guilt about their choices. No one deserves this.
Do you get pushback, I guess, Jen, that this is a domestic violence incident?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for raising that. And I really appreciate that you're having this conversation really openly and honestly about that. I think there's a resistance to that. So, and I think it's because the reality is the data shows that women who are hurt or killed in our country, especially in this community, are most likely to be hurt or killed by a current or former intimate partner. She was on a date with this person. Some of the early reports say that there had been intimacy between them. And that, unfortunately, for women is the reality, but that is who we are most likely to be hurt by. I think we want to believe sometimes that we're more likely to be hurt by a stranger or mm-hmm. some random act of violence. But if you're a woman, and especially in Utah, where we have very high rates of dating violence, domestic violence and sexual assault, and our domestic violence homicide rate in particular is concerning, that's just the reality that we live with.
Jen Oxborough of the Domestic Violence Coalition. We're talking in depth right now about the homicide of Ashlyn Black, who went on a Tinder date with a man and will never go home. She was killed, and police say that the individual responsible for her murder has confessed to them, although we don't believe at this point that he's been formally charged. We have reporters and producers tracking down that part of the story. And Jen, I need to know what your advice is for starting the conversation in our homes tonight with our own daughters and our sons about what Ashlyn Black's legacy will do to protect them in the future. How do we start that conversation?
You know, I think I was listening in, and I think the conversation that you're having today is exactly where we begin, Debbie. I think being able to acknowledge that we all have this tendency to get defensive, right? Like, I would never do that. I work as a therapist, and we refer to that behavior as othering. Other people would do that. I would never do it, so therefore I'm safer. And that's a defensive move. What I hope we get to is the deeper, more root issue of what we're afraid of. So I have young adults in my home who use Tinder. I've been on online dating apps, and I've met wonderful people through that. And by and large, we're mostly going to be safe. But being able to have an honest conversation about what my fear is as a mom, as your friend, as your colleague, I'm afraid that, you know, I don't know what's happening or how to get in touch with you or how to follow up if I'm worried about something. I don't know. You know, I've said to my young adults in my home, I'm afraid to have this conversation with you because I'm afraid you'll shut down. So talking about our fears and what we're afraid of instead of going into that defensive tendency where we're blaming other people and unintentionally causing a chilling effect, right? Ultimately, the responsibility for violence resides with the person who chooses to hurt someone. So they are the person who's responsible.
Well, I'm afraid, Jen. Go ahead, Jen. I'm sorry. Oh, I was just going to say, I'm afraid that they're going alone. I'm afraid that my daughter and even my son, and I see people, you know, chiming in on our text line here with some very legitimate concerns about their sons. I'm afraid they're going alone on a first date, and my son will be accused of doing something he didn't do, and my daughters will be victimized.
Right. So it's talking with them about how to tune into their intuition, and especially with younger adults, you know, brain science helps us understand that that logic center of our brain isn't fully developed until we're about 24, 25, 26 years old. And even then, it takes some practice to use it well. So younger adults tend to be more limbic. They tend to be more emotional in how they're thinking. It's why everything feels like a bigger deal when you're a younger person, right? And so the excitement and you know, the anticipation feels really big and powerful when you're a younger person too, and that's can be a really wonderful feeling. So just acknowledging that and understanding that young adults are often feeling like we're judging them and we think that they're not very smart or they're hysterical or they're hypersensitive. So stay away from all of that and just acknowledge, like, you know, you're new to this environment, mm-hmm. or you feel like you're experienced in it, and this is a big experience for you, and how do we do it in a safe way? Like, what works for you? Is there somebody that you can tell who you're going out with and tell them something about that person and sort of vet it with them in advance? You know, sit down and have a coffee or a phone call or a chat with someone about who you're going out with and see what their intuition is, right? So teamwork. And, you know, as a parent all the time, I have to acknowledge that sometimes I'm not the right player on the team to start that conversation, and that their privacy is really important to them as they're individuating. But if we can encourage them to find someone that they trust to talk to, someone who can also have eyes and ears and intuition about this and help us safety plan, that's really important.
Thanks, Jen.
Free advocacy is available all the time too. You can always talk to someone on our hotline.
Go ahead and give the number, Jen.
Yes, please.
It's 1-800-897-LINK, L-I-N-K. So that's 1-800-897-5465. We see a number of calls coming in right now where people are like, hey, can I just talk about this? This is what's going on for me in my dating world, and I just want to bounce that off of someone who's neutral and not directly in my life. We welcome those calls. Call us anytime. We'll talk it through with you.
I 100% believe this, because I think when you have an emotional stake in what your kids do or don't do, you're not the best player on the team, as you say. Sorry we have to go. You're amazing. I love talking to you, but we have to hit a break. But thank you so much for joining us today. And that information is just absolutely, and your work in the community, absolutely vital, especially right now.
Jen Oxborough of the Domestic Violence Coalition, thank you so much for calling in and sharing those tips. Let's continue to go in depth. I'm going to ask this question. Are women more emotionally vulnerable online because we feel a need, an innate need, for someone to love us?
Dave and Dujanovic.